This is the Dairy Brothers Tribecast, a podcast for diehard Cleveland Indians fans, presented to you by WaitingForNextYear.com. Now, here are the hosts, Matt and Todd Dairy.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen, special bonus episode of the Dairy Brothers Tribecast right here at WaitingForNextYear.com. Matt and Todd with you, brought to you by the Center for Advanced Dentistry and also BreakingTea.com. No, we're not brought to you by American Fireworks, but...
or the Honeymoon Grill, for that matter.
That fireworks one will get you in trouble. You don't want that one.
But you heard the voice. We talked about it on Tuesday. Special Friday guest and Friday episode. Andre Knott, star. I don't want to call him sideline reporter, but, you know, in-game reporter for the Indians on Bally Sports Cleveland, of course. WTAM, new podcast he's doing, he's going to tell us about. And our friend joins us today. Dre, thanks so much.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Usually when we talk this time of the year, we're talking about playoff seeds and who we want to play in the playoffs. Not so much this year. So let's
What's this year been like? Because it's, you know, we watch every night, and even now, I mean, you know, the bats have struggled and everything else, but how weird has it been? And again, you can't go on the road, which I think is total bullshit.
Yeah, that is total bullshit. That part has been difficult. And to be honest with you, Matt, you try to, like, this weekend is great because the team's at home, so you don't get caught up in it. And you kind of, you know, I was talking to my camera guy a couple days ago, and we were like, it's amazing how much work we get done when the team's at home. And then when the team's on the road, how we're just like in scramble mode almost, you know, because I mean, we've been Zooming for a year and a half, and God bless it for things like this is awesome. But to do the job of covering a team is not awesome. And I think players have grown stale with it. You just don't have the same intimacy with a player or with a coach or a manager or anyone else. And it sucks. But otherwise, other than that, the season actually, and this is, and trust me, I've got great text messages with both of you guys during games. So part of this, I think seasons, and you guys know this, seasons are about expectations. I didn't have really high expectations back in March. I didn't see this team like winning, going into the playoffs. I'm still frustrated by the lack of hitting and the lack of some of the questions that need to be answered. But I love the pitching staff, and I love that we can walk away from the 2021 season and we have a pretty good idea that the Indians still are going to be one of the best pitching teams in baseball next year. And I think that matters for what they're trying to do.
Yeah. And this is how they're going to build. And they have been building for years. And with the rotation, I mean, you pretty much know next year who your five starters are all going to be. They're all under club control. Right. And then you even know that Cody Morris is on the come, and you got Eli Morgan, who looked great, who's probably going to be the odd man out. You just, if we've learned anything this year, it's that you need to have at least eight starting pitchers that you can count on, because this year has been a complete shit show with all the injuries. Right. But now we're looking up, and all of a sudden you're like, wow, the steps that Quantrill and McKenzie have taken, and you're hoping that you're going to get Savali and Bieber back healthy. And then you got those five guys locked in for next year.
In typical Northeast Ohioan fashion, as you guys will admit, the other night I was locked, San Diego was playing, and Snell had like got deep in the game, and like they ran one of those stats, like, this is the deepest he's ever gotten to a baseball game. And I like text one of my buddies, and I was like, San Diego, maybe the dumbest freaking organization in baseball. Seriously, because yep. They draft all these guys, they brag about all these guys, and no, if look, there's a Mike Clevenger bobble next to where I'm at right now. The there pitching arm is off of it, but why the hell would you trade this guy for Cal Quantrill? Like, do they not know their own people? Do they not know how to develop their own guys? Like, and this isn't to tear down the Padres. If anything, I guess I'm propping up the Indians and what they're doing with pitching. Because Todd, I got to tell you, and you know this, there was a time in probably like late April, early May, where we're going, who the hell is going to pitch the fifth game? You know, who's going to pitch the sixth game? The depth had been pushed, and it's pretty cool to see what they've developed. Cause I like some of the names you brought up. They're in the minors. I'm trying not to get too caught up in minor league players this year right now. And like, especially with the middle infielders, and I'll admit there's like a tug of war amongst guys I even work with about how excited to be or not be about, you know, because we're all the same. Everybody's on it. You know, we're all like, hey, you see, what's his name? Went 4-for-5 last night. And I got to tell you guys, minor league baseball fucking sucks right now. And trying
it's bad. I know. We got
trying to gauge that to where we're going is not the way to do it.
Dre, we got so sucked in at the start of the year. And I'm as guilty as anybody. When Owen Miller was like hitting 600 at Columbus, and it's like, and Todd and I are on the air going, bring him up, bring him up, bring him up. Then he gets a little cold in Columbus, but then they had to bring him up with all the injuries. And then he comes up, and to be quite honest, I'm underwhelmed by him at this level. He's still young enough that you haven't probably too small of a sample size, but my gosh, when Yu Chang, Daniel Johnson, Owen Miller, all these guys are like stars in Columbus and then come up here and can't do it. It's
eye-opening. It's eye-opening. And look, I have nothing against minor league ball. I don't. I love going to minor league ball games. I think there is something, and someone way smarter than the three of us will be able to put together, and I'm sure the Indians organization or the Milwaukee Brewers who are here this weekend, a smart organization will try to figure out what the last 2 years have been in minor league baseball. We didn't have it last season. And I know, and I get it. Fans don't want to hear that shit when we're doing a game, you know, at 7 o'clock, but there's something, and baseball's got to figure this out. Not us, but something has been lost in the steps. It used to be where if you could do what Owen Miller was doing at AAA 10 years ago, 15 years ago, like you were a stud.
Oh yeah.
And I'll admit his swing is much better now than it was when they first called him up. And maybe, Matt, they were 5 days late in calling him up. And maybe you steal some of that hotness he had down in Columbus, but he was overwhelmed. You know, all the names you said have been overwhelmed. Chang has been better recently. And I even made the comment to our producer last night. I was like, for as good as Chang has been for 2 weeks, he's still hitting 227. You know what I mean? And like at the end of the day now, and I'll say this. I love Arias. Yeah, and I watched him in spring training. He has the look, but he's one of the youngest guys in Triple A. I think he's the future shortstop, but Amed Rosario, there's a nasty words I just said to the Dairy Boys.
No,
Rosario
is Matt. That's not me.
He's not a shortstop.
I don't disagree, but
He's got to play.
You can't just give anybody else the job though yet, can you?
Well, you know what? The problem was they wanted to give that job to Andrés Giménez. And last year, when they made that trade for the redacted ex shortstop, who we don't name on this podcast, Matt was most excited about Giménez because he said, this guy can pick it. He came up, he hit immediately, and he was not overwhelmed at age 21, 22 when he came up for the Mets. This year, he's looked completely lost up here. And I actually like that they sent him back and allowed him to catch his breath. He had that really good streak in Columbus where I think he hit a home run in 7 straight games, but it just hasn't really computed. Now, with that said, he's 22. So are we just going to be like, oh, we're done with him? But I just, you know, shortstop is his natural position, but I'm also with you. I think Arias is the shortstop of the future. And if it were up to me, and Matt and I've talked about this many times, all winter long, I am telling Ahmed, here's the outfielder's glove. Go play and learn how to play left field. And maybe we make him most likely an everyday left fielder, but still, one day he's in left, one day he's at third. So J-Ram can DH. One day he's at second. You know, move him around. So everybody gets it.
Great teams have that now, right?
Yeah.
Great teams have that guy now.
There's not many teams.
No.
Yeah, because there's not many teams now. If you look up, it's not Edgar Martinez. You know, Nelson Cruz is still going, but he's 40-something. You know, that the DH position is not locked into the guy who can't play the field anymore.
Yeah, and DeMarlo Hill has made a good point to me. Tito won't step on it and touch it, but I'll tell you guys, he's like, I really like Framil Reyes. He goes, I don't want Framil Reyes to weigh 300 pounds and at 28, 29, think that he's going to DH the rest of his life. Yep. We have to make him think that he's going to have an outfield glove and use it twice a week. He goes, he may not, but I got to keep, and Framil has admitted to me. He's like, I need to lose a couple more pounds, what you're saying is what they want. They don't want to make the DH just Framil. You're going to do that 160 games in 20. They want him to think at least You're going to go to the outfield. We're going to use other guys. I guess the only reason I brought that up is we've all made the mistake of because like, all right, Jimenez, I think he's going to be all right player. But why does he have to swing for home? Like his swing gets so big sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, yeah. I know. Dude, you're 5'10", 100. Like, and it's not, and I shouldn't pinpoint him because it's most of baseball. But that's the most frustrating thing I have going with baseball right now. Like when Arise from Minnesota.
Oh, yeah.
He comes to the plate 2 days ago, 3 days ago. And Tristan McKenzie is sitting, you know, 4 feet from me. And I'm like, and I go, Tristan, this dude is a pest. And Tristan turns around and looks at me and goes, I would rather go against all the home run and hitting guys 100% of the time over dealing with that guy. He goes, because of how he handles the bat, he's a pain in the ass.
Oh, he really is.
And I'm like, he's a great player. I love watching him hit. I don't watch a lot of guys batting practice because a lot of guys are just, you know, it's a show off. It's like, you know, yeah. But that guy, man, it's like an artist. Like literally, I saw him with Gordon 2 days ago during BP, and Gordon, who's grown up in the game, a former top, you know, you guys know all the stuff about him. And Gordon is sitting there like a little kid, eyes wide open because the rise is like, I'm going to shoot it over the third baseman's head and drop it here. Like he's like a tennis player, just dropping it, going oppo the whole time. He knows what he's doing. He's keeping his hands inside. That's the guy pitchers are just don't want to see. But 90% of our players right now want to try to hit the ball 450 feet. It's so unnerving. Oh,
you know, I will say this. There's one guy, and this will segue in. There's one guy on the Indians that has been added to the roster who I think is like that Arise type hitter, and that is Miles Straw. Since he's come over, I love his approach to the plate. He works every count. You know, for years, whenever we would play the Yankees in the playoffs in the last, you know, 5, 6, 7 years, or even in the series against them, they just work our starting pitchers. Every count is deep. Yeah. And there's not many guys on our roster that seem to do that, but Straw has really been that, you know, that guy. What do you think about him so far?
I love him so far because he understands himself. And I think that's just the most simple thing. And I try to, he gets it. He says, I'm not going to hit home runs. I think he came up in Houston's, and I'm not a Houston organization fan, but I think he came up and he looked around and he realized he was not going to hit like those other guys. And they let him kind of develop. As you said, he lets the ball get deep. If it's a curveball, he's not trying to, he just serves it the other way. I think he had a single yesterday. Where he just serves the ball the other way. He takes what he gets going forward. I'm excited about the starting pitching, but I'm excited because as a center, I mean, how many times did we text about our outfield defense this year?
Well, at least it's gotten better. Yeah, it's been more quiet lately, thank God.
Yeah, he's been a big part of it, though. Right. Yeah. He's been a big part of kind of settling everyone else in a little bit.
I mean, you remember we go back to like May and early June when Harold was playing center and Naylor was in right, and anytime there'd be a ball hit between them, they looked like they were going to crash into each other.
I mean, we all were holding our breath. And imagine being a pitcher. Like, we're fans. We're watching. Imagine being a pitcher and you're busting your balls out there. The ball goes up in the air and you're like, I think somebody's going to catch it. And, like, literally, that's what we went through for 2.5 months.
Yep.
Andre Knott, of course, Indians field reporter for Bally Sports Detroit, does all the interviews with the players after the games, does a great job. And kind of this year has had to be almost a third man in the booth at times. Also hosting now a podcast called Brownstown, which we're going to get into. All right, Andre, all of these guys are all kind of grouped together. So, you know, like everybody's saying, and I think Terry Pluto wrote this, and Todd and I have set up this on the show. All right, Miles Straw next year, center field. Left field and right field, who's going to be there? And for 40-man roster freaks and geeks, who's going to be off, do you think?
Like me, yeah.
Yeah, I think the 40-man, and you got to be deep into it to get it. I think the 40-man thing is key. They're going to try to find a dance partner, and this is we do trade deadline stuff during NBA season or whatever else. You got to have a dance partner, and you know, like, all right, the Brewers are in town this weekend, Matt, right?
Yeah,
I kind of like how I'll say this, I like how the Brewers go about their business. I just do. Is there someone on their roster that you can look at and say, will this guy, you know, be a stud for 3 years that you'll have control? And do they need what we have down in the minor league system? I don't know their minor league system very well right now. They've got to make a trade though and get rid of some of these guys. And look, they're going to give up a couple players that are going to look. There's going to be a guy or two, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, we're going to go, shit, why'd the Indians let him go? That's part of this deal, right? That's just how it works. But they've got to figure out, the right guys. I think they're back to a 90-95 win team next year. Now that might be partly because I'm half awake and I've drank 2 cups of coffee already today, but I really think that they're on the verge, but they got to make the right moves. I know everybody was big on Zimmer a couple weeks ago. I like Bradley. He hasn't done enough for me to say he's your right fielder. I think he's a fourth outfielder until he proves. Yeah. He has not proven that he can hit great pitching yet. He can run. And his health, you just haven't seen him play enough. So to me, Miles Straw's your center fielder. And in a perfect world, they go get a right fielder and a left fielder that's established. But let me ask you guys this. Todd, you've got great seats. You have seats. You're there every day. And I'm being serious.
I'll be there tonight, by the way.
All right, sir. If they sign Michael Conforto to a, 3-year deal, I don't want to put money on it. How sexy is that to you? How sexy is that to the people that sit around you? I'm curious. I don't know.
Well, here, it's an upgrade, and it's a name play, a somewhat name player. But I don't know if our fan base would be very excited. Like, listen, if they decided to all of a sudden spend the money, I think people would be like, wow, they're really going for it. They're spending money. That's great. So I don't know if it would matter who it would be, but I'll take Michael Conforto in right field all day long.
Oh my God. You guys are cracking me up because as Todd knows, in my NL only fantasy league, I had to bench this man twice this summer.
Tell him who you benched him for this week.
Last week I'm like in second place and doing great. And I had and I got teams on my heels with 2 regular season weeks to go. And I benched Conforto for Tyler Naquin. All right.
God bless Tyler.
He was the player of the week before. So I wrote him and then he did nothing. And Conforto actually showed up. And Michael Conforto, if you ask Met fans, like, and Andre's right. The Indians seem to love making deals with the Reds and the Padres, and they pick these teams and deal with them all the time. But, like, if the Indians call the Mets back, Conforto, the Mets are going to let Conforto walk. It's a great example by Andre because he plays right field, but he's been a disappointment. His OPS is actually right around 700, the same as Zimmer's.
Same as Zimmer. But, I know.
Yeah.
But, Zach Meisel and I are having this conversation. He wrote that great article, him and Lloyd, that's out about what they're trying to do to Progressive Field. And I don't want to steal his thunder, so because I'll admit part of this is from him. And it's like, okay, they're going to do all this stuff at Progressive Field. And look, I love our ball. We got one of the best ballparks in baseball, and that's the God honest truth. But they know that they've got to update it and keep it going. They can put 8 corners into the Progressive Field. That's not going to make you buy more tickets. And he kind of compared it to when they got Tito to come over and then they went out and got Swisher and they went out and Bourne. Now, like I said, Todd, you know this. There's a season ticket holder that's going to be a season ticket holder because that's what they do. And then there's certain people that are only going to come if you give them something to buy into, right?
Yep.
And some people bought into Swisher's coming home. He's doing the 08. Now, Swisher was a pain in the ass and a jacket. But it sold tickets, Matt.
you're right.
I guess what I'm coming back to is you guys are Northeast Ohioans. You guys know how this city works. Who can they sign that will make people go, okay, the Indians are serious? Even though signing someone doesn't mean you're serious or not serious, in my opinion.
You want to know the answer is? Francisco Lindor.
I knew you were going to say that.
No, you're wrong. You're wrong.
I'm not kidding. Okay. But Todd, I'm saying that kind of level of known commodity all-star player. Matt wants Nick Castellanos.
I think would be great.
I would love it, but I would love it. I just don't see it happening.
I don't see any of this happening. I think this conversation is a total fucking pipe dream. But that's the type of but seriously, that's the type of player that's going to bring people back. You were totally right about Swisher and Bourne, and Matt and I talked about this on the last podcast. I don't care if it didn't work at the time; it was 100% the right move. You had Tito. You were trying to. You were just coming off the Manny Acta era, where apathy was at its all-time high and the team was at a low and you had to do something. And so they overpaid, but who cares? It sold tickets. It got people back, reinvested, and it gave them some juice. And Tito, obviously, being the manager that he was, we immediately, you know, that season, the 2013 season was great.
Can we get Whit Merrifield? Put him in right field?
I would love that. Matt, I would love that. And here, I got to say this on what Todd said, because Todd, you're dead on, but here's my issue. And this is the ebb and flow of making a team work, because I'm going to ask you about the Detroit Tigers in a minute, Matt.
The unnamed team.
That's what we call them on this podcast. The unnamed team.
My bad. I forgot.
It's the redacted shortstop and the unnamed team. Yeah.
I love the rules of the scene. All right. The Indians didn't take off, though, until they got rid of Bourne and Swisher. Isn't that amazing? Like, Todd, you're not wrong. They needed that per se, but they didn't take off until because Swisher was not good in the clubhouse. And Bourne was a great dude, but just didn't have anything left. But that's what it took to get the rest. You know what? Like, make sense of that, Matt. That's my problem, because I get what you're saying. Now, Castellanos would be awesome. Conforto, to me, would be what we already got.
Yeah. It's a matter of fit, and it's a matter of, you're right. I mean, you know, Nick left. Detroit, for some odd reason, the unnamed team treated him like crap at the end.
Yeah.
And they were rebuilding, and they got cheap and didn't want to pay him. He leaves Dave Meter to go with Boris, and it's like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
And so they knew what they were doing, and it was a bad move, because now they feel like they're moving up and making moves, and they could totally use a guy like that. But I don't know. I'm sure the hope was, Andre, that one of these guys, I mean, Harold, Big Harold, as your buddy calls him,
yes.
Mercado, Daniel John, any of them, Zimmer. Right. And it's like, who's
but they're all be? The same.
They're all they're the all, same.
Harold might be a little bit different, but they're all the same. They're all fine. You know what I mean? Like, right. Zimmer, we talk about Zimmer. As Matt and I did at the beginning of the year, I couldn't believe they were going back to him. I was like, again with this guy? Like, how much more do we need to see? But I do think that there's value, but his value is as a fourth or fifth outfielder.
Yeah, but you can't
playing
have,
twice a week or later in the defensive five replacement.
You can't have
runner.
Five number four outfielders.
He's right.
Eventually, we have
he's
to have a stud out
every day.
There.
You got to have a – well, here's my issue, and I've said this gently to guys that work around that would do this. How can the St. Louis Cardinals produce outfielders out the wazoo?
I know.
And I can go through a couple other organizations that just keep pushing out outfielders that can hit, run, play. We haven't done that since Manny Ramirez.
It's crazy. Yeah.
Or Grady.
Okay, great.
But he wasn't developed. I mean, he was traded here. Though.
Yeah, he was developed.
Look at the,
but you guys know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah,
right.
Sure.
Like, it's awesome what they're doing with pitching, and I'm not belittling that. I will not. And hey, the Brewers are right there with what they're doing. They got five of the filthiest guys pitching in baseball. Yep. This weekend could be we'll get to
we're seeing their top three. It could be ugly. Yeah.
Yeah. One that's coming.
Yeah.
But my point is, they have to
go ahead. No, I was going
to
say,
we got to find a way to develop 25 innings. That's all.
We went 25 innings without scoring against the
John Gant,
three unnamed player, John Gant and Joe Ryan.
Wait till you get to see Hauser, Woodruff, and Burns this weekend. It's like, oh shit,
Hopefully they're under 3 hours.
Yeah, right. That was the only good thing about the other night. It was 2.5 hours.
Right. I was like,
you were probably home by nine. Your kids.
I was like, it's not dark yet. This is sweet.
We could go all day on this. Two more things. One, we want to talk about your podcast, but number one. Quantrill last night versus Sano. That was awesome. Cal Quantrill is I love this man. I want a jersey. I named my fantasy football team the Ambassador of Quan. Ambassador of Quantrill. I love the guy. Like, what a cool ass dude. I love that he went at Sano last night. Like, fuck him.
Right. And how about Austin Hedges? Get in the box. What are you gonna do about it?
Yeah, it was great.
Our guy, we love him.
It was beautiful. I love I think I'm glad this season happened, because, you know, in spring training, and this tells you how much any of us know, we watched Kyle Quantrill start a game and he couldn't get out of like the third inning, Matt. And it was one of those days where, you know, it was like 90 degrees. It was just one of those days where it was like, come on, man, throw strikes. We don't want to sit out here in this. And I remember Rick Manning and I went back and forth, and Rick was like, dude, he goes, I think he's going to be a great reliever. I just think he's a little short, you know? And like, he was like, I just think he doesn't have that next pitch. And throughout most of the season, first half of the season, it was like, he's good, but there's something not there. I think growing up in a baseball family with a dad like he did obviously helps. But I think coming to the Indians, and he's kind of admitted this, that they didn't put him in a box. They were like, you know, because I remember Carl Willis during spring training was like, I think I got him doing too much, you know, because he was trying to throw four pitches like all the other pitchers. And finally, Carl, towards the end of spring training, was like, what do you do best? And he was like, I throw a sinker and I throw a slider. And Carl was like, well, you need to perfect those two pitches. You know, he was like, perfect those two pitches and then we'll work from there. Well, since he's become a starter in the second half now, he's perfected like five pitches, man. Like he's throwing a cutter now that's really good. The changeup was filthy last night. And he's got a fuck you attitude that I love. And you know what? When you look at the Indians rotation, Shane Bieber, really good guy, but he loves to compete. Nice guy, though. Aaron Civale, great competitor. Very nice guy. Zach Plesac, great athlete. Very nice guy. Tristan McKenzie, the nicest kid I've met in 30 years. I want an asshole somewhere in that rotation, and now we got it.
Yeah.
That was really fun to watch, and I agree with you. You could see early on, and he did do a really nice job in the pen in that role.
Yeah,
and almost to the point where I wanted to keep him there, but when duty called, he really stepped up, which has been incredible to watch. So I'm so psyched for that rotation for 2022.
I know.
Which should be great. So
let me ask you one more thing. We got to get a bullpen arm too, and bullpen. But I hate maybe getting two. Bullpen arms of free agent.
Speaking of bullpen arms, we do need that. And normally, you know, the Indians are so good at unearthing. Like they always find, like when they got Otero and then he was here for 4 years, or Manship, or Atchison had that one good year. Matt Albers had that one good year. It's always like one guy. This year, Blake Parker. They'll find something. Right. Or Shaw. You could even say Shaw this year. They'll find
It'll be interesting to see what happens to Shaw in free agency.
He'll be back. He'll be back.
Matt's been saying he'll be back no matter what. Even if it's for free, he will come back.
Tito's not coming back without his boy, and I'm fine with it.
Yeah. I think Matt's right. I got to bite my lip. I'll text you guys later.
Okay. Well, the other thing is, and as I loathe to talk about him, as you both know, they got to get 99 right if he could ever be right again. And by the way, Andre, my fantasy team, we have this fantasy football league that is our family. So it's Matt's kids, my kids. Okay. It's great. It's great.
That's awesome.
And our executive producer, Jeremy, and his kids. So my team name is 99's Got No Class A. So feel free to use that one.
It's better than what I thought you were going to say. I'll just say this, wink, wink. It's kind of crazy that they've sent him down to Columbus and he hasn't pitched in a game yet.
Yeah, I saw that. Well, you know what? They're obviously working on tinkering his stuff, and they don't want to put him out there.
Exactly. But it's interesting. It's interesting because it's like, and he has thrown a lot of innings, whatever else. But it's like, okay, you're not gonna put him in the game yet.
Maybe he's at Rite Aid getting the shot.
Somehow I doubt that.
Where's the mute button?
I seriously doubt. Okay, let's flip over to your podcast, Brownstown. Three episodes have come out. I've listened to all three. It's really, really well done. And for those people, I know that you get Browns negativity fatigue from hearing about how horrible we've been for so long. But I think to understand where we've gotten, you really need where we are now, you really need to know where we came from and how this all happened. And for people of the generation, you know, you're in your 40s, we're in our 40s. We grew up where the Browns were, and you said this in, I can't remember if it was the first or second episode, we grew up, they were awesome. I mean, 86, 87, 89, they made three AFC championship games. You know, they just got lost to John Elway three times. And we just kind of took for granted as kids how great they'd be. And now we have an entire generation of fans that have no idea how they look good. So what made you want to do this podcast?
You're working through it a little. I mean, I want to do something, period. I just want to do something related to Browns because just to the fandom, to why the town's this way. I work around a lot of people with the Indians that aren't from here that are perplexed at times by no matter how good they do things, the Browns are always number one. And I'm not saying that in a bad way. Same with the Cavs. When I was over at the Cavs, you guys are Northeast Ohio. You know how it is. Like, we love baseball. And I love football, too. And it is frustrating at times. And finally, it hit me. I don't think enough of us kind of understand our history. Like, you know, when I would get – like, when jackasses would be mad at me because I would challenge that Johnny Manziel wasn't prepared, ready, or knew what he was doing. And that's easy to say now. But, you know, when he would show up to a Cavs game on a Wednesday night, Tuesday night, and he's hammered, and you're like, that's our starting quarterback, and you assholes cheering? Like, it made me realize we have this disconnect like no other. Like, you know, generationally. Like, you're right. I grew up in the 80s, and I expected to see football until January 30th. Like, you know, like, that was normal. And then so we have generations that don't know, and the generations that came before us, obviously, you know, if you're our grandparents, they got to see Otto Graham. I just wanted to give a connection, Todd. Like, seriously, I wanted a connection for not only us here, but I got enough friends, and you guys do too. I got enough friends around the country that just don't get Browns fans. So I'm trying to give us a history of why we are the way we are.
Andre,
go ahead, Maddie.
No. I want to give them a plug on everybody where they can find it.
You can go to anywhere you get podcasts, Apple, whatever else. Put in Brownstown. Blue Wire is produced and put a lot of money into it.
Yeah, Blue Wire Pods has done. They're coming on. They've done a nice job. So I'm glad you're with them. Go ahead, Todd.
I had a couple more questions. So I know in the first couple episodes you reached out to, you had Chris Rose and Andrew Siciliano on. So Matt and I, you know, Matt went to college with Andrew and has known him for a long time. And our families grew up with the Roses. So we've known Chris for a long time, too.
I didn't do that on purpose, but I did find that out talking to both of them, by the way.
But they do have a unique perspective. One of my favorite conversations you had was about the old stadium and just how disgusting it was. I think the younger generation really needs to understand just how bad it was.
Yes. And trust me, I did not start off the podcast to do that, but we did over 30 interviews, guys, and you guys know it. Like, and as we were piecing together, and my producer and co-writer, he's a kid that's 26 years old. He graduated from Northwestern. He's from Canada, so he had to do a lot of research on Browns football. So, like, the second interview we do was with Mike Polk, and Mike may have taken the time to get prepared with a couple beverages, and Harry, he had no idea what he was walking into. And I was just talking to Polk, and Polk was doing a stand-up, and he started talking about nuts to butts and going to the old stadium and how, what it was like and what it smelled like. And Harry looks at me afterwards. He goes, holy shit. He goes, we got something, but I don't know what we have. And that's when it hit me. I was like, yeah, we got to talk about the stadium. And then when you get Chris Rose talking about it and Siciliano, and we've got other people that we're kind of talking like,
oh, that's great.
The old players. And here's my thing. One of the things that pissed me off the most, I still love going to the Oakland Coliseum. It is a dump. It is the biggest dump. But I got to tell you guys something. I'm kind of in love with it because it's my last foothold to Cleveland Browns Stadium for me. Seriously.
I get it.
And that's weird to say, but I walk around there. The carpet sticks to the floor still. It's disgusting. But it's what I remember going to as a kid. That was the first stadium I had.
For everything. Yep. I mean, now you get the ballpark and then you get the football stadium and you didn't have the dual, the multi-purpose where, right. You know, in September when the Tribe was playing and you saw the 40 and 30 yard lines, you know, in chalk that they kind of tried to erase in the outfield. And it was dumpy, but it was our dumpy spot. So Andre, man, it was a pleasure. We'll go to everybody needs to go to Brownstown on all podcast platforms and find you, but keep up the great work, man.
Thanks,
and, we love watching you, and thanks for coming on.
Appreciate you guys. The other thing I wanted to say about Brownstown is that there's a lot of people out there that are talented in this game. I know writing's not looked at the same. I know podcasting has become something. I just, in all honesty, in a corny way, I grew up on Terry Pluto like you guys did, Joe Tate like you guys did. I just wanted another format and another way to tell stories Because local radio drives me crazy sometimes, as you guys both know. I mean, because we play down to the easiest. You guys know this. Hey, what do you guys think the backup quarterback should be? There's more depth to sports talk, and I just wanted to give us some more depth to sports talk. So I hope that does it with Brownstown, and hopefully we can continue doing stuff like this. I hope it's a new genre, a way to kind of tell stories in sports. But thank you guys for your time.
It was great. Thanks, Andre. Great to talk to you as always.
All right,
thanks,
buddy. Boys. Andre Knott with us on the Dairy Brothers Tribecast special Friday edition. Tribe and Brewers this weekend. Check out Andre on Valley Sports Ohio, of course, or Great Lakes, whatever they call it. Is it BSO? What? I don't even know the name. I just know the
name. Let me, Matt. I'm gonna make sure my check came through today. I don't give a fuck.
Todd, I'll see you tonight. Watch him tonight, everybody. And we'll talk to you next week.
Hip Pass Moto, sponsored by Moto America, is the show that keeps you up to speed on the latest in motorcycling and brings the biggest names in motorcycle racing right to you. From candid interviews with the top names in racing to providing insights into the trends and trendsetters driving the motorcycle industry, we have you covered. New episodes are available every Thursday at pitpassmoto.com and on your favorite podcast app. Ride on.